skin. And as I look at it very carefully, I believe that it is as a result of what I call isolation. For example, we all know that one reason why intermarriage between people or close relations are discouraged, and in the Bible, at the beginning it was allowed, but through time it was disallowed, because of the weakness of the law of sin, and therefore imperfection has crept into mankind and man's body. The process of decay has started. And so what happens is when two people marry, for example, the new generation is made up from the genetics of combination of both the father and the mother. So let's say that of all these chromosomes, like there is A and B, and then on the other there's A and B, there's more than that, but just illustrate with two. So let's say that for the child to come up, he needs a combination of A and B for his chromosome. What will happen is, when a marriage of the same people having the same genetics and the same types of genes and chromosomes, is biologically, when the new A is formed, they try to get the strongest A, right? So the chances are greater. For example, if you have four genes, like say gene number 1, 2, 3, 4, and you need to produce gene 1, 2, 3, 4, so it takes on both sides. But if gene number 1 is weak in the father's side, maybe on this side of the mother the gene could be strong. But what happens if they are on the close stock, same bloodline, is that the chances are on this mother's side, gene 1 also will be weak. So if gene number 1 is strong and gene on the mother's side and gene number 1 is weak on the father's side, then the biological tendency is to take the stronger one from the mother. So you got number 1 here. Then you look at number 2. So see which one is true. Both are strong, so any side will do. Then look at number 3. Oh, the mother's side is weak, the father's side is strong, and so they take form number 3 from the father's side. So there is a biological tendency to take the best. But if both are of the same line, where if one is weak here, one is weak there, then the child, that is the biological child, don't have much chance. So he would take, he has to take one, and number, the one will have to be weak. A weakness of the genes will be there, because there's no choice. He's got to have number one to have the human being. So he put the number one is weak. So what happens is, when a group of people get isolated, like in the Bible days, and they began to form cities, and they began to isolate themselves, and they began to marry among themselves over a period of hundreds of years, the same weakness of genes becomes the common features of the people. That means that if time permits, and let's say two people, you know, they could come from anywhere, and they just go to some new island that came out because of volcanic eruption, because every place is discovered and claimed already. So let's say some new island came out, and they go and live there, and we don't see them around for the next 500 years. You can be sure that whatever, or a group of people got stranded there, and whatever they were before that, at the end of 500 years, they will be like a new race. Because there is a common shared genes that they all have. And so that's what happened through time, that all the races can be formed from one stock, looking at a biological perspective. Here we have, as we consider that God, as He works among men, and all men are equal, He has to choose to work through one nation, that is the Jews, and from that one nation, He began to reveal Himself to the Gentiles. So our first statement here is that when God looks at all mankind and deals with them, as the Bible reveals, all of the earth and all generations are classified into two different groups, the Jews and the Gentiles. Right up to the time of Revelations, in the book of Revelations, chapter 11, We have the classification still in verse 2. But leave, Revelation 11 verse 2, but leave out the court which is outside the temple and do not measure it, for it has been given to the Gentiles. Even right up to the book of Revelation, there is still the classification of Gentiles and Jews, and that is speaking about something that took place after Jesus came. In fact, during the time of Jesus, near to Jesus' second coming. So, that's the first statement we need to see. Having seen that, when Jesus manifests, Jesus Christ of Nazareth came not for one nation alone, although He came through the Jews, He came for the world, came to take the sins of the world. But as He came into this system in which God chose to reveal Himself, the system of the Jews and the Gentiles on this earth, He has to work with the system. So when Jesus came, His name was not Jesus yet. His name was the Word of God. His official name. Look at Revelation 19. The official name of Jesus, before He manifested on the earth, Revelation 19, in the one coming on a white horse, verse 13, He was clothed with a robe dipped in blood, and His name is called the Word of God. His name is called the Word of God. That is His name as God. His name as God is not Jesus Christ. His name is the Word of God. That's His title as God. John chapter 1 verse 1 tells us that in the beginning was the Word. And the Word was with God. And the Word was God. So remember that Jesus' original name as the second person of the Godhead is the Word of God. And God the Father, He got all His titles and names, and the Holy Spirit. So they had the three persons of the Godhead. And when Jesus, when the Word of God came to manifest on this earth, He took on the name Jesus Christ. That name Jesus Christ was associated not to the manifestation of the second person of the Godhead, but to the manifestation of a perfect human being with a divine nature, Jesus Christ. So Jesus Christ was the name given to the human manifestation of God through the second person. So understand that the name Jesus Christ belongs to humanity. That's the mystery of the Godhead. When Jesus rose from the dead, that name Jesus Christ was taken and promoted as the new official title of the second person of the Godhead. That took place in Philippians chapter 2. When God said, every knee shall bow, and every tongue, that was officially announced up in heaven, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Kurios, or Lord. So God has to make a special proclamation, because a new title was sort of added to the second person as the Godhead. He retained the human title for our behalf. So when He came down in His first coming, God had to respect the division of Jews and Gentiles. So Jesus came, He must first of all manifest primarily to the Jews. For that reason, in the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, looking at the Gospel of Matthew chapter 10, as He sent His disciples two by two, Matthew chapter 10. He makes this statement in verse 6, 5 and 6. These 12 Jesus sent out and commanded them, saying, "Do not go into the way of the Gentiles, and do not enter a city of the Samaritans, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." Because the 3 years that he chose to manifest to the lost sheep of Israel was not completed. He had to manifest to the Jews. In chapter 15 of Matthew, when a Gentile came to him, he replied in verse 24. He says, "I was not sent except to the lost sheep of the house of Israel." So he makes it very clear. Jesus' first coming was in two stages. He came, first coming, first part. Part one is to the Jews. 3 years. Period about 3 years. At the end of the 3 years, he has completed all that he needs to do in Israel and confirmed the promises that have been prophesied to the Jews. All about his first coming. He says to his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. Because there is now a change. Matthew 28. Looking at verse 19. "Go therefore and make disciples of all nations." Mark 16 tells us, go and preach to every creature. There is now officially a change after he resurrected from the dead. Because the moment he was raised from the dead, the period of the Jews ended. And it moved into the Gentile dispensation. Although we cannot clearly see a line, but the places where the transition take place was so gradual and so obvious that the book of Acts is a marking point in there. In the book of Acts chapter 1, the disciples were interested in the Jewish dispensation still. And they asked him, in verse 6, "Lord," Acts 1 verse 6, "will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?" That tells me two things. Number one, the disciples were still having an Israelite concept of Jesus' first coming. Number two, it tells me that the restoration of the nation of Israel has not taken place when they ask this question. So here, there was an incompleteness to the Jewish manifestation. Something is still not finished yet. That at a future time before the world ends has to be finished. But God has now moved to the Gentiles. It became clearer and clearer to the church. Even in Paul's ministry, there is an obvious change that came about. In the book of Acts, and we look at the book of Acts, chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. In verse 46, in Paul's missionary journey, it became obvious that God is now working more among the Gentiles than Jews. Why is that so? Because there are times and seasons with God that doesn't quite flow with our earthly time. There is a shift into the Gentile dispensation. So in Acts chapter 13, Paul and Barnabas found out in verse 46, it says, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. As so the Lord commanded, I have set you to be a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. So there's a period turning onto the Gentiles. Every time they ended the missionary journey, they recognized it was the Gentiles who were more blessed in verse 27.